Conference record has joined the conference.
All right, do I still got you here, Andrew?
Yeah, man.
All right, so I will start it off. What's up, guys? My name is Elliot with the Grateful Web, and today I'm here with Railroad Earth Basis, Mr. Andrew Altman. Andrew, how you doing this afternoon?
Pretty good, pretty good. Just pulled into Royal Oak, Michigan, doing a railroad show tonight.
Right on. Yeah, I saw you guys were doing a two-night run there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so Andrew, you spent some time this past year in the studio alongside J-Rat, Tom Hamilton, working on your solo self-titled EP. I know you guys spent about 6 months in a Philadelphia studio. Walk me through the recording process of this new album.
Yeah, this was great, and it really worked out perfect for the situation that I'm in with my schedule with the band. We, you know, I talked to Tom, and I enjoy the sound of the American Babies record, so when I found out that he was responsible for a lot of the playing and the sound, I hit him up, and I was like, hey, man, I've got a bunch of tunes. Maybe we could work together. And I assumed we'd be, like, kind of getting some players in there and doing all this stuff. But he's like, no, just come down to the studio. I live in New York. And he's like, well, just trust me. Basically, I was like, okay.
That's yeah.
About it. So the process was pretty much just throwing stuff at the wall, which was totally awesome, because I come from, you know, a different mentality and past experience of, you know, you get players together and, you know, you rehearse a bunch and then you hit record and you hope you get it. This was just like the opposite. No rehearsal,
right.
No players. You just start playing parts. And if you don't get it, you just hit delete. So it was fun because, you know, Tom would hand me a guitar and be like, play it. And I'm like, well, you're the guitar player. Why am I playing it? You know what I mean? I mean, I write on guitar. I play guitar.
Right.
Tom's the guitar player, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, just trust me. And it was cool. Same thing. He would sit down to the drum set and I'd be like, what? You're going to play drums? He's like, just, you'll see.
Well, it's good to
so there's
good
a
have
lot
that,
of that
sort of trust.
Yeah, there's a lot of that in the process. It was a lot of, trust me, you'll see.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, now, I know you've written some songs for Railroad in the past, but I understand that this new album is 100% all original material that has not really been played with the Railroad guys. Where did these songs on your new EP originate from? Have they been floating around in your head for a while, or did you just sit down one day and write this new EP?
No, it's been an ongoing process. I mean, the thing is, for me, you know, I worked really hard to get my bass playing to like a certain level, you know, so I could do just about anything. And you know, you get to that point. Like, I studied jazz and all that, and just about anything is like 90%. It would take you, it takes you 10 years to get to that point. It would take you another 10 years to get that other 10%, which is
mm-hmm.
stuff that I'm not really interested in doing anymore. You know, that,
mm-hmm.
those kind of, that style of music that's like, you know, super technical. So
right.
this just started, you know, 6-7 years ago. It was just a new way to challenge myself. I was like, let me start again on something I'm really not good at in music, which was, I played guitar first. So this was like, let me get back with, you know, getting my guitar stuff back and working on singing and songwriting. You know, there's so many great singers in our scene, and, you know, you want to be able to at least have something to offer in that department. So it's been building over the course of 5 or 6 years, just practicing that, just to give myself a new challenge and stay inspired, you know, on and
mm-hmm.
off the road. And eventually I got enough stuff together that I felt good about it, and, you know, talk to a guy whose sound I like, and it was like, let's just put these things together, and I'm kind of ready to go, you know?
yeah, no, definitely. When you're writing music outside of Railroad Earth, like for this new album, does your approach to writing music change at all? Do you feel that you have like a little bit more creative control, or do you kind of stick with like the same formula as when you're with the guys?
Yeah, it's all just about, it all just comes from, like I said, that challenge of, you know, wanting to be creative. It is, it's not creative control much as just like not being able to control being creative. You just want to do things and create things, and you can only sit around and play bass by yourself for so long in your house before you lose your mind. So the approach is not different. The songs that I contributed to the band were not like, it would be something that I was already sitting on. Like, I just write songs because it's fun. So if I have something I'm sitting on and we were playing in rehearsal and we're maybe doing a groove or something that sounds like something I already have, I'm like, hey, guys, this might work. I have a tune that's kind of already like this. Maybe this would work for us, and let them hear it and let people contribute. So it's a band thing then. You know, like John will add an instrumental section to the song that didn't exist, or guys will make arrangement ideas. So it's definitely not like, you know, a front man thing where it's like, hey guys, we're going to do my song now. It's like, check out this thing. What do you guys want to do with it? Kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then when I do them on my own, it's just the same material. It's just, I mean, the writing is the same. I never think, oh, this is a railroad or this is me. I just write songs. And if it happens to work for the band, then that's even better. I mean, it's great to have something that everyone can use.
Yeah, absolutely. And it must be nice to kind of bounce ideas off of them as well.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we got a great songwriter, Todd, in the band. And he's a great influence to be around. So anytime I can get input from him or John, I mean, I'm all about it, you know.
No, definitely, man, definitely. Well, given that Railroad Earth is kind of known as a live touring band, are there any challenges trying to capture that live energy in the studio? And this, I guess, kind of applies to your solo project and when you go record with Railroad. Do you find that it's hard to capture that live energy?
Oh, yeah, it totally is. It's like, in my experience, it's borderline impossible. It's like every now and again you get it. But the thing is, you really shouldn't try. That's why I liked Tom's approach. He makes the kind of records that I like to listen to, you know, outside of the band. I mean, I grew up listening to a lot of the jam music and in the scene when I was younger, but as you get older and you become a part of it, you kind of have to distance yourself. You know, it's like too close to home. You know, so
right,
you have to,
right.
Just stay inspired. You know, I listen to other genres. So, you know, so, and Tom's kind of like that too. He grew up with, you know, Dead and everything, but he listens to The War on Drugs. I mean, we both do. It's like that kind of stuff. And, you know, Alice in Chains, like,
right.
You know, this kind of stuff. I mean, so that's why he was a perfect fit for me in that sense. It wasn't about trying to capture a live thing. It was just like doing something, making a record that sounds like the stuff you listen to, you know. And some people are going to get it or they're not, you know, if they're expecting this sort of similar thing to what you already do or what they're used to hearing, you know, they might be like, oh, this isn't, but that's not why you do it. It's just to do, create something that's you enjoy listening to.
Right. Definitely. I understand that. Well, this, I guess this sort of relates to what we were just talking about. You guys are, I guess, labeled into the jam band scene, whether that's an accurate description or not. Do you guys have all, or what, you have different musical elements too. I mean, bluegrass, folk, all sorts of stuff. Do you guys view yourself as a particular genre, or does labeling yourself make you have to play a certain way so you guys avoid that just at all costs? I know a lot of bands feel that way. They don't like to group themselves into a specific category. Do you kind of feel that way about Railroad?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I don't really think about it. Like, I mean, because that's what everyone says. Like, oh, we don't want to be like labels, man, you know? And it's, well, that's how people identify. But the thing is, and, you know, some of us in the day, we spend a lot of time thinking about this. It's more about the labeling isn't about you. That's what bands have to realize and let go of. It's not about you. It's about the audience identifying with other people like them, you know? Because music is a community thing, whether it's the jam community and what they like, which is getting together and, like, it's a very celebratory thing, you know? It's meeting up with friends, joining in on this live experience. It's going to be different every time. That's a community. Same with the indie rock scene. That's its own community. You know, same with the folk scene. It's a community. The jazz scene, which I spent a lot of time in my formative years, it's a community. And so the labels are more about, that's what I feel. I feel it's more so fans can identify with the community they want to be a part of. So people need to relax about it reflecting on them. It doesn't matter. Like, if people say you're a jam band, it doesn't matter about you. If you don't consider yourself part of that community as a listener, it doesn't matter, because it's not about you. It's about people who love what you do.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. Now, I want to
talk a little bit. Sorry, that's like a long-winded thing, but that's just like,
No,
it's just something that
it makes
I've learned
sense
of
when you said it that way.
Well, because Railroad, they never set out to be a jam band. It wasn't
right.
Like, oh, we're gonna like go for that crowd. The guys got together and made some music they liked, and that's just who showed up. That community of people. So that's what makes it a jam band, is the community that's circled around it, not, you know, so who cares? Call it what you want. Whatever makes you enjoy the experience, that's all that matters.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit, before you joined Railroad in 2010, you played in a number of different bands, the Code Talkers, Blue Ground Undergrass. Tell me about some of the similarities and differences between those bands and making the transition into Railroad. Did you make any adjustments along the way?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest adjustments for me were more with my sound. I mean, making my sound translate in the variety of rooms. I mean, you know, that growing process of like what you do in the club doesn't work for the theater or, you know, the festival stage or Red Rocks. You know, and vice versa. I mean, you don't need to roll in a huge bass amp to play in a little club. So, although saying that, I've played the same bass amp for a long time. but no, I mean, just little adjustments. That's the biggest thing. I mean, it's kind of a nerdy answer, but that's the biggest thing. And, you know, just because stylistically, the intention was all the same. A lot of improvisation. And so it wasn't like, and there was always songs there, so it was never like, oh, now I need to learn how to play to a singer, or now I need to learn how to jam. It's always been those elements.
Mm-hmm.
It's just making it sound right.
Right. Definitely. Well, before Railroad, were you primarily a stand-up bass player? And if so, did you make the adjustment to the electric, or have they always kind of been hand-in-hand?
No, that's a great question. I mean, for me, that's always been, I feel like I tried to present as one of my, you know, strengths or positive selling points or whatever, is they've always, ever since college anyway, like I got out of college, they've always been equal to me. I had to go through a phase in college where I just played upright because it's so hard. You need to really, like, just do that, like 5 years of, like, boot camp, you know. But after that, I practiced them equally. So it's not, there is a lot of those guys and bass players that are like, oh, amazing upright player. Well, and he brings an electric to the gig and he'll play it, but it's, and vice versa, you know, like sick electric players. They're like, well, I own an upright. If you want to do like an acoustic set, I'll play it. But that's never been my thing. It's always been the goal being the equal ability and expressiveness on both, and whatever works for the song, that's which one I pick up.
And, well, then, and that leads me to my next one. Is a fan fret bass somewhat like having the best of both worlds? I mean, do you own a fan fret bass, and B, is it kind of like a mixture of both of them?
Which, what now?
Like a fan fret bass, you know?
Oh, yeah, that electric that I play?
Yeah. Is that
that's actually, well, I mean, we're getting, deep into the nerd stuff, which I'll, you know, I can blow through.
We like getting deep into the nerd stuff,
but it does tie into the music side of things, because that, I'll try to make it as short as possible, but the thing is, it's not about that, it's about the scale, the short strings. When I first joined the band, I was playing a short scale, but then the low strings don't sound good, and then I was playing a longer one, so the low strings sound good, and then the tops sound weird, so this kind of evens them all out. And I was, I come from like my formative years, you know, I was a big fan of Gordon and Lesh, and, you know, I like all the guys I've seen too, Schools, all those guys, and they're all modulus players. And I had the same exact bass. I had a 6-string modulus bass, you know, but as soon as I got, you know, basically out of the Code Talkers, when I got into a little bit bigger sort of, you know, scene, it's, we're always going to be that guy. Like, I wanted to have my own take on that. So the idea behind that bass that I play is that it's supposed to be as consistent, you know, it's different, but I'm going for the consistency of those basses, but it's modeled after a Fender P bass, which is my favorite sound.
Okay.
Which is an old school sound. So I want this like old school sound, but with that modern evenness,
mm-hmm.
so that I'm not just
mm-hmm.
like ripping off those guys. You know, it's like my own signature sound, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, totally. Well, you guys, Railroad has just released the Live at Red Rocks 2014 DVD. Tell me, what was that experience like playing one of the most famous venues in the country in front of, I don't know how many thousands of fans. What was that experience like?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's the, I guess if you had to put it in a word, it's just like, it's just an affirmative experience, meaning all the work you put into the years, and especially the groundwork these guys laid before I got to the band, you know, but years and years of being on the road and the nights, you know, you don't make any money or, you know, like you don't get any sleep
yeah.
or all this stuff. You're away from your family. When all those people turn up to support you, you know, an amazing venue like that, you have a sold out crowd. Mm-hmm. You're like, it just affirms why you did all those other things.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so you finally feel like, yes, you don't feel like, oh, I made it. You feel like this is why I did all that other stuff.
Yeah,
not,
it paid off.
You're not done. You're just, okay, this is it.
Yeah.
No, this is the reason, you know.
Yeah, I can totally see that. Well, you've been with Railroad now for going on 5 years. What are some of your most memorable moments of the last 5 years with the Railroad guys?
Oh, man. Let's see.
I know there's probably been a shitload of them, but I don't know, a couple.
Yeah. Man, I'd have to think for the gems. But, I mean, of course, things like Red Rocks. I mean, that was my first time obviously playing there. It was
mm-hmm.
just crazy because as a kid, you grow up listening to records that are recorded there and stuff.
Absolutely.
But you know, I mean, there's a lot of fun stuff, like getting out to Colorado and California. A lot. I mean, I'd been once or twice before, but getting out there munching, you know, getting to go snowboarding and stuff on off days with some of the guys, like that kind of stuff's fun. Even stuff like last night was fun. We had like a party on the bus where we just like, I was like being the iPhone DJ and just listening to Motown till like 4 a.m.
Yeah. No, I actually saw a tweet about that. I saw you guys had a little bus party last night.
Yeah. You know, just stuff like that. That's the stuff where I feel like you look back and you're like, remember that time we're in the parking lot of the Holiday Inn and we stayed up all night listening to Motown, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
The shows
no,
are great,
cool.
But a lot of them can blur together. But speaking of that, the other great moments, of course, when you find yourself standing on stage like next to Phil Lesh, you're like, how the fuck did I end up here?
Yeah.
Excuse the language, but this is not
how
I put it.
Dude, it's all good. It's all good. We can
in your mind, that's like exactly what you say to yourself, you know? And Mike Gordon came out to our show in Burlington one time.
Oh.
You know, that was like another weird thing. You're like, dude, you came to my show. What the?
Yeah, that would be. Yeah.
What is going on here? Stuff like that. Playing with Bruce Hornsby is cool. Just getting to play with people that, you know, you were a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Weird. Puts you back in that mindset.
Absolutely. All right, man. I got a couple more for you here, and then I will let you go.
Sure, these are good questions.
Thank you. Who are some of the most influential bass players in your mind growing up? I know you said you studied jazz in school, but you were also kind of part of the jam scene. You mentioned Gordo. You mentioned Lesh. Any other really influential bass players?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the thing is, as young as the instrument is in the history of music, being, 60 years now, there's still just so many players to really wrap your head around. I mean, for me, like, of course, outside of the guys I already mentioned, as far as just pioneer of the electric bass, it's always going to be James Jamerson, the Motown bass player. I mean, that's he's the Funk Brothers. You know, every oldie song you ever hear, some people call them oldies, but it's really Motown. That's like it's either James Jamerson or Bob Babbitt on all those tracks, and it's just like it's just the original funky P bass. It's just there's nothing better than that.
Yeah.
So that for the electric, of course, the improv scene's got, you know, Lesh and Gordon. And the jazz scene, it was always Scott LaFaro for me. Scott LaFaro and Ray Brown, they're different, very different players, but there's two guys on the upright Edgar Meyer too, obviously he's sick, but that, he's on like a freak level, you know.
Yeah.
he's very unique and singular. I mean, there's classical guys that can play as good as him, but that's all they do. He's in that unique classical, but Americana. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's very unique scene he's in, and he's just a freak. I'm not even close to being able to do what he can do with the bow. So
awesome.
It's a handful. I mean, you've got your usual. I mean, I listened to Victor Wooten a lot when I was younger, but I learned, you know, you learn a bunch of the slap stuff, and there's really only, he's built a whole, every project he's in is built around him doing what he does. You start slapping bass on 90% of the gigs you ever get as a bass player, people are looking at you like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Good point.
I learned that early on. I learned all his Victor stuff because I loved it, and then I busted out on some cover song. People were like, whoa.
Okay.
Hold up,
I was like, why the hell are you slapping so much?
Yeah, they're like, well, what are you doing? You're like two hand tapping on, you know, on like a Beatles song. Someone's like,
I'm just trying to sing my inner Victor, man.
Yeah, you might get fired.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, last question for you here, and I'll let you go. What does 2015 hold for Andrew Altman and Railroad is?
Yeah, I mean, Railroad, the biggest thing, or newest, however you want to look at it, for Railroad, of course, with the DVD, The Light of Red Rocks, is coming out, like, right now. But also this collaboration with Warren Haynes, which is really still in its formative sort of stages. I mean, I've played 25 songs with him in the studio.
Yeah.
And so we're just waiting to see, like, and most of the guys have, everyone's had a little hand in it one way or the other. So we're just kind of waiting to see.
Does that project have a name yet, or is that just kind of a...
Well, so far it's just been, you know, Warren Haynes and Railroad Earth. Depending on who got... There's some stuff that's going to be announced soon, like we're working on... I mean, obviously the Peach Fest thing already came out. We're going to be...
Yeah.
That's like Warren Haynes featuring Railroad Earth. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll see kind of musically what makes it into that set, but we're... there's nothing announced yet, but we're trying to work on some shows with him, like maybe a little run or something that's going to feature everyone's music, stuff we worked on with him and, you know, our stuff. So, but that's in the works. That'll be real exciting for us. We've been doing a package tour every summer that's been really cool for us, whether it be Bruce Hornsby or Yonder. Hopefully we can pull it together with Warren this year. And for myself, I mean, being a part of that's great, but also just trying to, you know, just stepping out there. That's what this whole EP was about, is just, you know, just being, taking that first step, you're like, this is, I like to create stuff and here it is, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Trying to do some shows, but Railroad's so busy that, you know, I really have to find holes in the schedule.
Yeah, I was going to ask, any solo shows coming up, or are you pretty much just busy as hell with Railroad?
Yeah, I have a few local things, but, you know, nothing that's like, you know, nothing on par with like a tour or anything yet, which I'd like to do, but it's just... It really takes time to put together. The tricky thing too is I have some guys I play with, but you know, lining up their schedules with my schedule, everyone's so busy doing their own thing. So it's like, just trying to make that lineup is the first thing. So we'll see, but it just starts with getting the record out there and then seeing what kind of, you know, if I can pair up with some other guys that do stuff outside of their bands, you know, maybe. Put something together. We'll see.
Definitely. All right, Andrew. Well, thank you so much for sitting down. Congratulations on the new EP. And
man, I appreciate it. Great questions.
Yeah, no, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, and we'll catch you on the road. All right.
Cool. Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks, man. You take care.
Later.